I'm Marisa Waddell with you on Issues and Ideas. My guest today is Kristen Hazard, who is the owner of SunToucher Software in San Luis Obispo. Kristen is a San Luis native who has built a tech company that makes apps. SunToucher is in the vibrant Railroad Square District, and it's attracting some attention, not just because of its apps, but also because of the woman who owns the company and the generous approach she takes in running that company. Welcome, Kristen.
Thank you.
Kristen, SunToucher has built fun apps like games and magic tricks and serious, practical apps for the healthcare industry. But you seem to be leaning in the direction of environmental apps. Can you tell me how that came about?
Yes. So I was a principal in an environmental consulting company right around the time I was starting my software company as well. And I was sort of getting an experience of both the environmental world and the software world. And as part of that experience, I saw that there was a niche there that was underserved. You know, I thought, ooh, I can go towards that. And at the same time, I was able to build an app very similar for PG&E. I've actually been building it for 5 years, so that gave me the opportunity to learn specifically what people who are using this kind of app need. Now, that was PG&E's intellectual property, so then I went back and started from scratch and took what I learned from the industry and started building this WildNote environmental app.
And so WildNote is your new project. It's mm-hmm. your baby.
Yep.
Can you give me a brief overview of what it does and how it will help?
So basically, WildNote is for all the ologists, the biologists, botanists, archaeologists, paleontologists, the environmental professionals that go out into the field to collect data. And so we've built an app almost like a SurveyMonkey for environmental data collection. Mm-hmm. You can make any kind of question and answer data set, photos, videos, drop a lat long point, that sort of thing, and collect the data on your phone or tablet while you're out in the field. It syncs to the cloud, so when you get back in the office, you don't have to transcribe, make reports. It all just sort of is there for you and available to you.
Oh, okay.
So it's an efficiency app, basically.
Okay, so it's a tool that people can use to sort of streamline.
Exactly, and then exporting them to send to clients. So it takes away the tedium of that would come with that sort of work. So it streamlines, takes away the tedium, and obviously saves money.
How is this app different than the others that you've developed? It's your own app, so that's the big difference, right?
Yeah, so usually at SunToucher, a client would come to me and I would work with them on specifically what they need. And I would build exactly to their process. And they would pay me hourly to do it. Then when you're bootstrapping a product or making your own product, you're basically going to multiple clients and talking to them about what they need and combining those needs into sort of like a set that's common across everyone and then building to that. And you're paying for it yourself. You're not, you know, nobody's paying you hourly to do this. Mm-hmm. So bootstrapping is where you fund your own startup. And the way we've done it is we, from our consulting, we started saving money a couple years ago. We built up a bunch of savings, and then we've been slowly utilizing that savings to launch the product.
And that's really a lot of forethought.
The whole time I had SunToucher, I had been trying to find a product to make. And the reason I was doing that was because in consulting, you're sort of tied to your hourly rate. So however many hours you can work, that's how much you make. Whereas in the product game, you're not tied that way. So I thought that long-term feels like the right business decision to make. Mm-hmm. And so then it was just a matter of finding the right software to build. And then I was studying entrepreneurship and they were saying, pick an industry where you really like the people. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to be serving those people and spending a lot of time with those people. And I had spent time with biologists out in the field and people who were doing that kind of work, and I really liked them. They were laid back, rugged, very natural, loved the outdoors, were trying to contribute in that way. So I chose that industry.
Okay. And is this really what you're focusing on now? Are you building apps for individual companies as a consultant mm-hmm. still, or are you just focusing on WildNote, your own app?
Yeah, so the way I went about it was I handed over my consulting company to my right-hand man, David Simmons. And so he really runs the consulting side. And we have two very big clients. We have 3 to 4 people that work on those projects every day. And that's what's still funding, you know, WildNote. And I don't know where that'll go. You know, we love these clients, so we'll keep going with them and then we'll see. The thing about consulting is you never know, right, when it's going to end. Mm-hmm. So we're just riding that and we'll see when those end. Maybe we'll shift all the way over to WildNote.
You're listening to Issues and Ideas on KCBX. I'm Marisa Waddell, and my guest today is Kristen Hazard, who's the owner of SunToucher Software in San Luis Obispo. We're talking about her business and her new app, WildNote, that she's built with her company. SunToucher is one of not very many tech companies that is run by a woman.
Yay!
And although we like to think we've come a little further, there are still relatively few women in technology, and it can be difficult for the ones who are. You've championed women in tech. Tell me what you think the climate for women in the industry is like now and where we're headed.
The last tech conference I went to, there were still only 1 out of 10 people were women. And that was really surprising to me because I thought we had at least made it to 2, like 20%. But at this particular conference, it was just 10%. And this was even a community that is really focusing on being inclusive and bringing more women into it. So I think we still just find ourselves in a situation where it's dominated by men. There's this concept of the imposter syndrome. It's like you think you're in this industry and everybody knows you're actually just an imposter and you don't really know what you're doing. And I think that that really affects women. I think women walk into a room of men and kind of go into that place. And one of the things we do is we made this women's meetup and we didn't allow any men to come to the meetup. And I don't really like to be exclusive like that. I think it's better for us to all be working together. But what happens is when even one guy gets in the room, some women just shut down and they let the guy talk instead of them talking. Whereas when it's all women in the room, there's an openness and a collaborative nature to it. It's completely different. It's so interesting. I've been to so many tech meetups and I'll go to the ones where there's men, mostly men and me, and then go to the one where it's all women. It's like a totally different universe. You go to the female ones, everyone's collaborating, helping each other out, you know, like this whole thing. And you go to the men's and it's more not as connected, not as helpful. So we try to create that space with the women to come in, feel comfortable, learn, and then hopefully move into the industry. Because tech is where it's at if you want to make money. If you think a certain way and you want to have a career that is abundant and free and fun and challenging, go into tech. And so I'm super excited about that for women. Even single moms say, you know, like if they can get into tech, a lot of people can work at home remotely. So it's like, it just feels like this avenue for women to make a good living and to be able to provide for their family.
Mm-hmm. So this tech meetup for women, is that a local meetup or is that something that's regional or statewide?
So this guy, Matt West, started this Code Slow meetup, which was free education. And he was just teaching people about web technology for free. And he was trying to bring more women in. He asked me if I would do a meetup about how women could break into technology. And I said, sure, I'll do it. And it was such a great experience. I just thought I'd do one. But it was such a great experience having people come to the office and teaching them and us all collaborating and connecting that we just sort of kept it going for a few more months, basically. So it was just part of this Code Slow meetup, an offshoot of women only. And it was really just about supporting these women so that they could break into technology. And one of the challenges often is they have children. So they're working and they have kids. So it's actually pretty challenging to, you know, take on like a third thing and learn something to break into a new industry. Mm-hmm. But we were trying to support them as much as possible.
What are some of the tips that you have for women to break into technology?
The first and foremost thing for anybody to break into technology is you have to make some technology. If you want to program, you need to write some programs. If you want to do hardware, you need to build some hardware. And then when you do that, when you go for an interview and you show up with something that I built, you're taken seriously because you've actually taken the time, your own interest to go out and learn and actually make something. And just like any project, when you're doing something real, you learn so much more.
What kind of personality do you think it takes to be somebody who builds something, makes some software or builds some hardware?
Crazy? No. Like, you have to be super curious. You have to be determined. And you have to have the ability to move forward when you get stuck. Just keep going. And, like, I'm a big believer in baby steps. So that's how I think about it. Just make a little baby step this week, another baby step next week, another baby step. And that's actually how Wild Notes gotten to where it was. If you think about it, like, 5 years, geez, that's a long time to build a product, right? But it was a lot of baby steps. And I think that you can take that approach for any kind of project, basically.
Something else that SunToucher does is it participates in 1% for the planet. Tell me about that program and why your company participates.
So 1% for the planet was started by Yvon Chouinard, who's the CEO of Patagonia. And he wanted to get businesses to pay 1% of their sales to any environmental organization that they want to support or organizations that they want to support. He thinks of it as like an eco-tax. And I really, really got excited about that because I felt like, okay, 1% feels doable. And if all of the companies paid 1%, imagine what kind of positive impact we could have on the environment. I think for a long time, I didn't even want to get into business. But then people like Yvon Chouinard inspired me to build a business that actually felt like it was connected to me in my heart, not like something just to make money, but actually something that contributes to the community that it's a part of and is a force for good, as well as efficiency. Like, people in business know how to get stuff done, right? So if we could utilize that skill set to not only make money, but also contribute to things that we believe in, that would be a win-win, basically. So in the 1%, you take 1% of your sales and you send that off to whatever organization you choose. I give all my 1% to the Land Conservancy of San Luis Obispo because I really believe in land conservation for the future benefit of this county.
So for 1% for the planet, the businesses, each business gets to choose where their 1% goes. Yep. It's not like you're sending your 1% to an organization that distributes the money to various places.
Correct. You pay money to 1%. It's like a yearly fee so that they certify that you actually gave the 1% up.
Okay. So yeah, it's like being certified organic.
Exactly. And then you get a little stamp, you know, like I'm part of this. Mm-hmm. And it creates a network of like-minded companies that want to be that way.
Mm-hmm. So besides being a champion for women in tech and giving 1% of your proceeds to environmental causes, in this case, the Land Conservancy of San Luis Obispo County, what are some of the other things about SunToucher that you think are unique?
Like I was saying earlier, I think I resisted going into business for a long time. And then I was reading a lot of books and just became open to like, oh, I could actually create a business with my own rules. Like, not the rules that I thought society placed on how businesses should be, but just make a business up from my heart and my head, basically. And so that's why we do things like 1% for the planet. And that's why we want to be a part of women in tech and just be a positive part of the community. I read this book, and now I'm forgetting the title of it, but it was basically got me connected to being as generous as I possibly could. And I noticed the more generous I was in my business, the more business came my way. I was like, wait, is this like a riddle? This is like a Buddhist riddle, I think. So I just sort of keep trying to go in that direction, and it seems to be working. It just sort of like a circle.
What do you think the future of SunToucher software is?
So we're going to launch this product, Wild Note, and it's going to be a wild success. And we're going to pretty much ride that, I think. We're going to become a product company. And SunToucher Consulting, the thing that funded this and has these clients, probably will remain to support the clients that we've had. But the future really is this bigger enterprise.
Well, Kristen Hazard, owner of SunToucher Software in San Luis Obispo, thanks for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you.
For Issues and Ideas, I'm Marisa Waddell.